Taxi! Taxi!
The time, right now. The characters, you name them, we got them. The scene, New York City. We present Taxi, a week-by-week account of the trials and tribulations of a New York taxi driver.
Hi there, Chuck's the name, Chuck Edwards. Ah, like they say, New York's a wonderful town. Hey, but it takes all kinds to make a town. And in New York, we got 'em. I had a couple in my cab once who made Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi and those guys look like children's hour. But with some of these guys, you don't know if they is cuckoo at first. No, no, they seem as sane as you and me. Like the guy who hired Red's cab that day. Me and Red was sitting at the cab watching the world go by waiting for a fare. And he's telling me all about the horror movie he saw on the Late Late Show on TV the night before.
What gets me, though, is how these guys can be so stupid.
What guys?
Well, like last night. There was this guy, see, and he gets to this castle.
Yeah.
Now, he knows there is vampires there, because everybody's been telling him. But he goes. You know, like he wants to get his blood sucked.
Huh?
Yeah, Danny, when he's in the castle, this guy comes up to the other guy.
What guy?
I'm telling you. Now, anyone can see this is the vampire. This other guy, I mean. But the first guy don't see it. I mean, there he stands with a white face and red lips and a cloak and two long teeth in the corners of his mouth. But this guy thinks he's a professor of music, I ask you.
That's only a movie.
So it's only a movie. I bet if I was that guy, I would have spotted it straight off.
Oh, yeah? So what would you have done if you'd have spotted him?
You mean you don't know? I thought everybody knew what to do if you meet a vampire.
No, well, you see, I ain't met any lately.
Well, that's just it, Chuck. How do you know?
How do I know what?
How do you know if you have met any vampires or not? I bet you'll be like that guy in the movies. You'd think he was a music teacher.
All right, already. So maybe I ain't the expert when it comes to spotting vampires. Forgive me, if you please. Part of my education has been neglected.
And you do not know what you would do if you did spot him for a vampire.
Okay, so tell me.
I'll tell you. You drive a stake through the heart.
You do what?
You drive a stake through his heart.
Yeah, T-bone or rump?
Not that kind of stake. A piece of wood sharpened at one end.
Is that so? And I suppose you just happens to have this in your jacket pocket.
Well, I guess if you're going out looking for vampires, you make sure he's got all the right equipment, you know.
Yeah. And what do you use to drive this stake into his heart?
Well, like a big hammer, I guess, you know. Mallet.
Oh, yeah. And the guy just stands there and lets you do it.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Okay, just hope that you do meet a vampire. He's the obliging kind. You'd have to say, excuse me, sir, just a little to the left. Thank you. Now you hold it while I drive the stake through your heart. Okay, thanks.
Hey, do you think they really are people like that, Chuck? You know, vampires and things like that?
Ah, who knows, Red? Like you say, maybe there is people like that. Nobody spots them.
Hey, I'd spot them. Vampires or mad professors or Frank and... I'd spot them.
Oh, yeah, sure. Igor Kowalski, that's you.
Taxi?
Oh, yeah, sure. A taxi. Yeah, hop in, mister. I'll see you later, Chuck.
Okay. Watch out for those vampires. Well, Red drives off with the old guy in the back seat. Now, this is about 11:30. And what with one thing and the other, I don't miss Red till about lunchtime. Then I realize that I ain't seen the jerk since he picked up that fare. I gets through to my broad, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Chuck. I got the tickets.
Tickets? What tickets?
For the movie tonight, remember?
Oh, boy, yeah. Hey, listen, have you heard from Red lately?
I'm just going to ask you, where is he?
Ah, who knows?
Well, as I heard from him, he picked up a fare on the rank about 11:30.
Yeah, that's right. I was with him. Hey, he ought to be back by now. Where'd he go?
He called me and told me he was taking this fare to Wiltshire Heights. Where's that?
Oh, that's about 10 miles out. Hey, that's a nice fare. Nah, he ought to be back by now, though.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, like I said, it's about 10 miles out. You know, where all those big houses and mansions are. Hey, I wonder what's keeping the big ape.
I'll tell you what was keeping the big ape. Let's go back to the time he drove off with that fare. He gets onto the road out of town.
Nice day, huh?
Most agreeable, most agreeable.
Wilshire Heights, huh? Hey, you live there, mister?
That's right. I am afraid my work, I need a place in the country.
Oh, that's what you got, eh? A place in the country.
Yes, yeah. Nice and quiet. No interference. I can get on with my experiments in peace.
Experiments? Hey, you a scientist?
Yes, a scientist. A doctor. My name is Professor Karchu.
Gesundheit.
I beg your pardon.
You sneezed.
That is my name, Karchu, K-A-R-C-H-O-U. Perhaps you have heard of me.
Well, I can't be sure. Maybe I have. Then again, maybe it was hay fever. Hey, what kind of experiments, Professor?
Well, up to now, I have been conducting my experiments on animals, rats, rabbits, and so on. But any day now, I shall be ready for my first human transplant.
Transplant? Oh, you mean hearts and kidneys and things like that?
Others of my colleagues have been busy on those lines. I am more interested in another sort of transplant.
Yeah? What's that?
The brain. Turn in here, will you?
Okay. Gee, is that your place?
Yes, it is. You like it.
Well, it's kind of spooky, ain't it? I mean, all those little, you know, towers and things, those narrow windows, the ivy all over the walls. Hey, if this was a horror movie, you'd hear an owl hoot. See what I mean? Gee, I wish Chuck was here. This is exactly what I was talking about. Hey, you ain't a vampire, are you?
A what?
No, I guess not. Your lips don't look too red. Anyway, I never heard of a vampire with false teeth.
Here we are.
Yep. Safe and sound. Now, that'll be, let me see now.
Perhaps you would like to come in and have a cup of coffee or a drink.
Gee, that's just the way it happened in the movie. This guy said that. And this stupid jerk of a hero, he went in. Ah, he was asking for trouble.
Well, would you?
Would I what?
Would you care to come inside and have a cup of coffee or a drink?
Yeah, that would be very nice. Thanks a lot.
Here comes my butler, Boris.
Oh, hi, Boris.
He won't answer. Boris was involved in one of my earlier, not too successful experiments.
Say, he walks like a zombie.
Yes, yeah. Doesn't he? Here we are. Just inside, will you?
Gee, he's someplace, huh?
Boris, bring us two coffees in the library, please. This way, please.
Say, well, you know, they had a library just like this in the movie last night. A big, with a piano over there. Hey, yeah, you got one, too. Say, you ain't in the movie business, are you?
I told you. I am conducting experiments at the moment.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you told me. What kind of experiments was they again?
The transplanting of the human brain.
The human what?
The human brain.
That sounds very interesting.
Oh, it is. All I need now are a donor and a recipient.
Oh, you gotta wait till somebody dies. You use their brains, huh?
That is what others of my colleagues have done with other organs. The brain is rather different.
Yeah?
Yes. I need a living donor.
Need a living donor? Come again?
I intend transplanting the human brain before death occurs.
Oh. I think I'd better be going.
You haven't had your coffee yet.
Suddenly I don't feel like it. Like...
But here is Boris now, with the coffee. And he gets very angry if people don't drink his coffee. Don't you, Boris?
Sounds like an animal.
Yes, doesn't he? So you'll have coffee.
Anything to please good old Boris.
That's all, Boris. Perhaps this nice gentleman will leave you his milk.
Hey, you sure his name ain't Felix?
As I said, Boris was one of my not too successful experiments during the cat stage.
The cat stage?
The cat stage.
Oh. Well, like I said, I gotta be going.
Not yet.
Yeah, really.
I say no. I've been watching you for some time.
Me?
You. I need you in my experiments.
You need me.
Yes, that's right. As I told you, I am ready to transplant a human brain. And this must be done while the person is still living.
Yeah, but you don't need me.
You are living.
Yeah, but I ain't got a brain. Ask anybody. Ask Chuck.
Everybody has a brain.
I wouldn't bet on that if I was you. And I wouldn't like to put you to all that trouble. I mean, I should hate you to go to all that trouble for nothing. You don't need me. My skull's too thick. And there ain't much movement there. You need somebody really brainy.
I have chosen you.
Well, I'm stupid. Honest, I wouldn't want you to waste your time. I think how mad you're going to be if you open me up and find nothing between the ears. Thanks all the same. It was sweet of you to think of me, but no thanks.
Sit down. You can't get out. The door and windows are locked. Anyway, Boris is waiting on the other side, and he hasn't had his supper yet. I wouldn't advise that.
Supper? What do you think I am? A tin of cat food? Let me out of here.
Ooh.
That sounded like a lion.
Yes, didn't it?
Boris?
No. That's Fred. He took part in a later experiment, not quite successful. The lion died. But Fred lived. He and Boris are great friends.
Yeah, that Boris is no fool. If I was on the other side of that door, I'd be his friend, too.
Now, you might as well relax. We won't start the experiment until later this evening.
Look, Mr. Professor, you know, on the level, you can find much better guys than me. Guys with more brains. It took me 5 years to get out of the grades at school, and they only moved me because I'd grown too big for the desk. My brain will be no good to you, I know. It's been no good to me for years. So useless, I wish I could trade it in.
That is just what I intend giving you. The chance of doing.
Huh?
Riding it in. It isn't your brain I want. It's your body.
He's after my body. My father always warned me.
I will find an intelligent donor and transplant his brain to your body.
Guys and dolls, that's what had been happening with Mrs. Kowalski's little boy. Hard to believe. I agree with you. And I would have found it hard to believe if I hadn't got involved in it myself. You see, it happened this way. It gets to 5 o'clock, and still there is no sign of Red back on the rank. I picks up Michael, and am I worried about the big lug? He ain't at the apartment, he ain't got back, I'm worried.
Well, I brought the address like you asked me. Irritates.
This is the address he told you was going to, huh?
That's right. The Slush. Bavaria Avenue, Wiltshire Heights.
The Slush? Ain't that the name for them old Bavarian castles?
Don't ask me.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah. Maybe he met up with a vampire. I hope he had his steak with him.
What are you talking about, Chuck Edwards?
Red was full of this horror movie he saw last night on the TV.
Oh.
And that address just fits in. You know, all them old vampires lived in them old Bavarian schlosses. We better get out there before it gets dark. We didn't quite make it. What I mean is, it was dark by the time we got there. But the moon had come up. I want to tell you, guys and dolls, as I drove down that drive towards that house, I ain't never seen nothing so spooky in my life. Oh, boy, was I glad I brought my .38 along. Gee, this is real weird. If this was a horror movie, an owl would hoot. See what I mean?
Chuck, I'm scared. Well, let's go back.
We can't. We gotta find out what's happened to Red. Hey, look, there's his cab parked over there. Look. He's still here. Come on.
Wait for me, Chuck Edwards.
Shh, hold it. Just let me make sure I got bullets in this thing.
Chuck, you ain't gonna use that thing, are you?
Now, listen, Michael, honey. If any guy with a white face and red lips wearing a cloak comes up to me and says he is a professor of music, I'm gonna shoot first and ask questions after. Besides, I didn't bring my wooden stake.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's get rid and get out of here.
Them is my sentiments, exactly.
What was that?
Ah, that was a cat. Ain't you never heard a cat before?
I've had plenty of cats before, wise guy. But I ain't never seen one before that was 6 feet tall and stood on its back legs all the time.
What you talking about?
Over there, look.
Ah, that's a man, stupid.
Oh, yeah? Well, whatever it is, I ain't waiting to find out. Feet, get moving.
Oh, boy. Oh, hey, let's hope that front door ain't locked.
Yeah.
I don't fancy waiting for somebody to answer the doorbell while old Born Free here licks his chops. The door.
Chuck, I'm scared.
Will you stop saying that? And listen, that sound you hear, that ain't the bongos. That's my knees knocking together. Hello? Hello? Anyone to home?
Huh? Ah, you must be Mr. Edwards. And this must be Myrtle. Pleased to meet you both, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Hi there.
Hi.
I'm Professor Karchu. Please come in. Into the library. Mr. Kowalski has been telling me all about you both.
Well, at least we knew that Red was alive. But I didn't fancy the looks of this guy much. I recognized him as the fair Red had picked up. But now he was wearing evening dress, you know, white tie and tails. And he looked very pale to me. I checked on the lips as I walked past him. Yeah, they looked pretty kosher. Anyway, what was I worrying about? Vampires don't exist today. I kept telling myself.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Chuck.
Hi.
Hey, this is the professor.
Hey, Red, you all right?
Yeah, sure, I'm fine.
Okay, come on, let's get back.
Oh, if only we could.
What's the matter? Why can't we?
Boris and Felix. I mean Fred.
Boris?
Yeah, he's half cat, half man. And Fred is half lion, half man. And this guy is half cuckoo. He wants to do a brain transplant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Don't worry, you're safe.
Well, that's what I thought. But he wants to use my body.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's going to transplant a brain into it while the other guy's still alive.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. You was talking crazy talk.
Not me. Him. The son of Franken... He's going to cut open a living guy and take his brain out and then cut me open and put that guy's brain in me.
Yeah?
Yeah. And guess who the other guy's going to be?
Oh.
You, Mr. Edward.
Oh, that's okay.
Me? You must be crazy. That's what they all said about me at the hospital. However, one gets used to the insults of the hoi polloi. No, I decided on Mr. Kowalski's body a long time ago. But I had not decided on his suitable brain until just now. You see, I wanted a very quick intellect rather than a highly educated man. Your friend, Mr. Kowalski, was full of praises for your quick thinking, big mouth.
Gee, Chuck, I'm sorry.
And he also told me that you would be here if he did not return, so I didn't even have to go and fetch you. We just waited. And now here we all are, ready to start the experiment. We must just wait until the moon has started to wane.
Hey, you ain't superstitious, are you?
No, but Boris is.
Hey, what's Boris got to do with this?
He will be acting as my assistant.
How about that? I don't blame you if you don't believe it. I didn't believe it myself. And if it wasn't for the fact that I still got blue marks from where Myrtle was hanging on tight to my arm, I'd be inclined to think I dreamed up the whole business. But I didn't. It was happening all right. We had got ourselves mixed up with a crazy doctor. He must have been pretty sure of himself because he left the three of us there in that library while he went to get ready for the operation. Huh, big deal. As soon as he was out of that room, I tried all the windows and the door. No soap. The windows wouldn't open and the door was locked on the outside. Also, as I tried the door... What was that?
That was Fred. He keeps guard.
What are we gonna do?
And what are you crying for? You ain't in this. It's my head he's gonna make the holes in.
Yeah, mine too. He's going to give me your brain. I need your brain like I need a hole in the head. What am I saying? No, I didn't mean that.
Will you shut up and let me think?
Yeah, you're the one with the quick intellect. Use it.
Will you shut up? Now then, you say there's three of them.
Well, there is one guy, two halves of guys, one half a cat, and half a lion. Let me see now. Yeah, I guess that there is three of them, yeah.
And there is three of us. And I got a gun.
You have?
Yeah, my .38 I always carry in the cubbyhole. I brung it along.
You think a gun will be any use?
Why not? Now, look, Michael, honey, don't let your imagination run away with you. Basically, there is three guys we have to worry about. One is mad, but bullets can do just as much damage to mad people. Now, you listen to me. There is a light in that hallway, ain't there? Come on, Michael, you remember when we came in, huh?
Yeah, I remember. There is. It's got eye alarms. Find him.
Okay, that's right. Now, the same as in here. Okay, now that gives us the advantage. We'll blow out this lamp and wait in the dark.
In the dark? You're crazy, too.
Yeah. Now, don't you see, stupid? If this room is in the dark, he'll be silhouetted. So will Boris and Fred. Gee, what names.
Yeah, that's right.
So big deal. They'll be silhouetted. So what?
So I'll be able to see him. And I'll have me targets to shoot at.
Shoot? You gotta shoot?
Honey, you're dead right I am. The police can sort it out later. Well, guys and girls, we did just that. We blew out the old-fashioned oil lamps in that library, and we waited in the dark. I suppose we must have waited about 5 minutes. But, oh boy, it seemed like 5 years. Michael was sniffing and crying, and Red was moaning. Me? Oh, I was scared, too. But I tried not to let it show. When he opens that door, I'm going to shoot. I'm going to aim for his legs. You'll see him outlined against the light. When he goes down, stay where you are. I'll go first.
Don't worry, we'll let you.
Thanks very much. I said I'll go first. Now, if I run into those other two, whatever they are, I'll shoot them too. If I don't, well, you'll know.
What do you mean, we'll know?
Well, there won't be any more shots, will there?
Oh, I see. And then?
Then I'll get out to the cab and I'll start it up. When you hear the motor going, you two come running. Straight out of here and out of the front door, okay?
It's too confusing for me. I just follow Michael.
Now, keep quiet.
What's all this? Why have you put the lamps out?
Here goes.
One down, two to go.
All right, now look, you two stay here till you hear the cab engine start running. Then you get outside as fast as you can. I'm going off now. I tiptoes out of that library, stepping over the unconscious professor. Then I wonders what the heck I'm tiptoeing for, and I runs. There is no one in the hallway. I'm out of that front door and into my cab as fast as I can travel. The engine takes first time. And I waits for those two to join me.
Come! Wait for
us! Come on, I'm waiting.
I can hear Fred coming down the stairs.
Oh. Well, what are you waiting for? To say goodbye?
Oh, we made it!
Come on, get inside.
Hey, that Fred thing's in the hallway.
I better give him something to slow him up. Come on, Red. Michael, let's get out of here.
This is an evening spot about an important morning food.
As we got to the gate of that place, we looked back, and what do you know? The joint was going up in flames. Yeah. You see, one of my bullets must have caught the oil lamp and smashed it. And that old woodwork was as dry as a bone. And in 2 ticks, the whole place was going up. Well, I got to the nearest precinct house. I reported the whole business to them. So they sent some guys out. And we got home. But, oh, like I said, I wouldn't believe it myself if it wasn't for what the cops told us they found in the ruins of that place. Oh, yeah. It gives me the shivers just to think of it. Well, I don't want to spoil your Sunday evening, so I won't tell you what they found. Ha! I'll just say, so long, guys and dolls. And if I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window.
Talking to the wrong...
Taxi is written and produced by Joe Stewartson, directed by David Gooden.